Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Might is Right Network. This is the Berserker Bastion and I am your host, Ruthless Rob. Today is Tuesday, January 6th, 2015. I wanted to remind you of the 14 words of David Lane, which I like to refer to as the Sacred Oath, and that is, we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And I like to include, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth. Here at the Might is Right Network, there are live podcasts on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And if we have anything on the weekend, we will let you know on the chat. And between the live podcast at the Might is Right Network, we stream 24 hours a day. Some of the best material available, such as the podcast of Dr. William Pierce, The Ghost Wolf, Terrible Tommy, Matt Hale, and we also stream audiobooks such as Nature's Eternal Religion, Chapter by Chapter, and there's much more. We also stream some of the best music of the white race. And the lineup at the Might is Right Network for live nightly podcast is Monday, Valkyrie Underground, Tuesday, The Berserker Bastion, Wednesday, Strategy Session, Thursday, the Might is Right Power Hour, and, of course, on the weekends, we'll let you know if anything is planned. If anyone has suggestions to improve the network or website, you may contact us in the comments and suggestions and complaints button at the top of the page. And if you like the network, then a great way to help us out is to spread the link around the internet. Tonight's topic is Wait, the Time is Not Right. I had read this particular article, which is titled Time is Not on Our Side, which I found at resist.com, Tom Metzger's website, and I thought it was a good article. I had read it last week with a couple other articles, and they're wasn't as much time as I would have liked to talk a little bit about this article and allow for people to call in if they wanted to contribute some comments. But I'm going to go ahead and read this article again, and then we'll go from there. Once again, the title of the article is Time is Not on Our Side. As our race and culture spirals downwards from its lofty perch of superior civilization builders, many of our people continue to believe the future of our blood rests on the ability to educate others to become racial activists. For many years, we sought to educate the masses and failed before realizing it was a waste of time. We then decided to seek only intelligent people and educate them. This seems more than a little odd, since an intelligent person should not have to be instructed on something so basic as race. Most of our propaganda has been geared toward this goal for quite some time, and it just ain't working. Is something amiss here? Could there be a missing ingredient among mass man? Could it be that only a minority comes pre-installed with this missing ingredient? If educating actually worked, do we really believe we could compete against the largest and most sophisticated propaganda machines the world has ever seen, not to mention the church, state, schools, etc.? Our tiny amount of propaganda does nothing to change the minds of the vast majority of those who read, hear, or watch, but it does offer like-minded people who stumble upon it a great amount of comfort to discover that they are not alone in their beliefs or feelings after all. This reason alone justifies our propaganda. The hypocritical racist whose position in life is among mass man will watch and even read a bit of racist material, but he will never become a racial activist, least not before a collapse of the system. He may be a racist, but he is an individual racist, not a tribe racist. Mass man's self-centered nature prevents him from becoming active in our blood struggle. He will not become active before he feels his tiny personal world is in danger. If propaganda serves such a vital function, then what is wrong with Project Educate? One problem is that we expect too much from this effort. Another is direction, or rather the lack thereof. Our expectations are somewhat similar to where's the beef? This attitude is due primarily to our misunderstanding of man's nature. We need to accept the reality that our propaganda largely serves as an advertisement to replace the beef we lose from time to time for various reasons. Our numbers increase in proportion to our losses, as well as proportional to increases in the overall white population. And I'm going to stop here for a moment. As Bill mentioned last week, that the white population has not been growing that much. So therefore, you know, any growth in other areas, you know, being proportional to the white population, everything should pretty much be stagnant, because that's probably what our population is here in the U.S. now. I don't think it's really growing much, if it's growing at all. And I'll continue. This results from our propaganda being noticed by people who are made of the right stuff. Propaganda also serves to let the masses know we have not thrown in the towel. As our race spirals downward, so does the system. The white masses will follow us if they perceive we might win. We need to upgrade our definition of the masses to meet the reality of the people belonging to that group. The term no longer means weak and stupid commoners. Today our universities are packed with mass man. He has become enlightened and is now involved in every aspect of democratic society. He is in the fields of science, engineering, medicine, architecture, research and development, etc. They are university professors, writers, philosophers, religious leaders, and poets. They are elected to public office, and they are members of Mensa. Without having a keen understanding of the nature of man, it is very difficult to comprehend that the majority of these people are from the original mass man. If we continue our failing to grasp this one thing, a deeper understanding of the nature of man, we will also continue to lose precious time, and time is not on our side. Failing to see meaningful results of our propaganda is one reason so many of our people become disheartened and say, to hell with it, and just drop out. Some retreat to areas that are, for now, mostly white, while others stay put and anguish over our going nowhere contentiously. If we are as smart as we think we are, we will soon realize our propaganda strategy is wrong in regard to believing education is the key to our racial future, and for still singing the waiting song. We need to rethink this strategy and also have the courage to make the necessary changes. We cannot afford to be set in our ways at the expense of our race. if we continue to keep this elitist attitude as opposed to a basic biological racist attitude, the last laugh will probably be on us. Our life path is fast approaching the crossroads of racial destiny and the valley of life or death. At this juncture, the path of life crosses the path of death. Our blood soul or race soul will either live or die on this battlefield. One path leads to eternal death. It is paved with muck and blood of past losers of this battle. The life path is not eternal. It only allows a race to continue its journey of life, where it will someday face other obstacles that may lead it back to the crossroads. This is a natural cycle of life. However, we are approaching this crossroads of destiny in an unnatural fashion. We have been force-marched into the valley, and the system masters also intend on force-marching us down the path of death. None of us would deny this. There is no question of what we have to do at the crossroads. But the question is, will it then be too late to do anything? The most important question should be on strategy. Everyone cannot be right, and all may be wrong. Do we want to decide the future of our blood soul on a gamble? None of these strategies have been proven to work under similar circumstances. Never. Why? Because no race in recorded history has been in circumstances even remotely similar to which we find ourselves. Does this mean our situation is so complex that it will take the best brains we have to come up with a winning strategy? No. The best strategy is the one we were born with. Normally, all people have the desire or instinct to live. Mass man, or mass modern man, same as the primitive man, wish for someone to lead or guide them when making decisions on various issues. He is influenced by any number of professional postulates in such fields as religion, politics, the media, medical, psychiatry, psychology, intellectuals, editors, columnists, radio personalities, etc. We, with the exception of our endowment of greater insight, are not too unlike mass man. The majority of our people seek direction from those, usually from within our ranks, whom they respect as being more insightful than themselves, while a small minority seek direction from no one. The commonly stated strategy within our ranks is wait. There is no denying that timing is an extremely important element of certain strategies, such as in science, hunting, manufacturing, farming, sports, and war. In conventional warfare, timing has a much larger meaning than an individual revolutionary acts. With the latter, timing is usually a judgment call by the individual taking direct action. Timing would become more important as direct action became larger in scope. However, we still have the basic disagreement among our people with regards to timing, as in, when do we view our racial situation as desperate? Some believe we can wait for the system to just fall into our hands. The system will fall, but it will go to the group having the most blood on their hands. Our proper and civil attitudes are liabilities, not assets. We have repeated, wait, the time is not right. For so long, it has become embedded in the subconscious and flows out as part of our living language, our proper strategic language. Wait has evolved to become the first words in the racial activist vocabulary. In the context of that term's original use, it made sense with regards to not widening the racial struggle during a period when the socioeconomic climate was very unfavorable. All true resistance types groups have been crushed in that period. Its use was correct in that context. The climate has again changed, and now the system is rotting. We have been forced into the valley of life or death without much of a struggle. So the odds against us are now higher, but our vision is less obstructed. Our eyes and ears should not miss as many sights and sounds in this less cluttered environment. We should seize every opportunity to reduce the odds against us on this unnatural drive to destroy our race soul. Everyone, other than new people, know that organized resistance at this time is practically doomed from the start, even before the start. Any successful resistance at the present will come from individuals who follow their inner force, that inexplicable drive to fulfill a mission they were born to pursue. For this reason, we should not continue repeating that old death march tune of wait. That tune only applies to large organized resistance forces, not to individuals. The attitude of the individual should not be adjusted to meet requirements of spokesman for any activist type group as it relates to that missing ingredient that so few have, and even fewer understand. If someone is driven to do something that many may call irrational or even stupid, he has acted exactly as nature intended. It makes no difference if the act results in his death. The difference is he abided by his calling. Therefore, he is on a higher plane than mass man. His driving force, his life force, his nature lead him to do what nature knows best. Nature places within all normal people our instincts to survive. For some, this only means if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. But for others, it means raising the black flag. Mother Nature also endows a minority of people with a higher plane of perception, thus allowing them to see further down the life path. This enables them to recognize obstacles much sooner than most, therefore offering precious time, our edge, as we approach obstacles that emerge to block our journey down our life path. Our circumstances do not call for reasoning or abstract thought, only organic or natural thought. Reasoning and abstract thought should not come in conflict with or attempt to replace natural thought. Natural thought is not responsible for our circumstances. Most all racial activists have this ability of high plane perception. Unfortunately for most, they haven't discovered it. Mother Nature endows us with that missing ingredient for one purpose only. Once again, the title of this article was Time Is Not on Our Side, and to provide the information where I found it was at resist.com, Tom Metzger's website. Last week, I estimated that the article was written about 20 or 30 years ago, and now I'm kind of thinking it's been about 20 years, less than 25 years. And the reason I say that is I think Tom Metzger didn't change his opinion about organizations until about, probably the early or the mid-1990s. So this article was probably written about 20 years ago. Since then, we can see that there's still talk going on, especially in the last 20 years, concerning people organizing and groups and all of that sort, whereas it took a long time for people such as myself and, I've learned from others, and Bill and others certainly feel the same way concerning the lone wolf strategy and leaderless resistance. There's not that many people who really advocate that idea. Many people still hold on to this idea of organizations and political groups and, you know, all the rest of that. So 20 years just for a little bit of change to be made. I have a few comments that I'd like to make, and then I will open up the lines to take any calls, if there are any. First, I wanted to repeat something that was in the article, a few things. There was a sentence that said, "The system will fall, but it will go to the group having the most blood on their hands." And I think that's very true. And whether it's going to be us or them, it all depends. You know, as things get really bad, and we've heard this before in Civil War II, and there's been other books and papers that have been written on this, and people have talked about it, that when those in power become very desperate and they want to hang on to their power, they're going to get extremely violent. And those who want to take that power from them, well, they will also have to meet violence with violence. And that means there's going to be bloodshed and there's going to be loss of life. And just as this sentence says, the system will fall, but it will go to the group having the most blood on their hands. So whoever is willing to do the most fighting, you could say the most killing, to take the reins of power, well, they will be the ones who will rule in the end. And there's another sentence that says, our proper, and proper is in quotes, it says, our proper and civil, and both proper and civil are in quotes, quotations. It says, our proper and civil attitudes are liabilities, not assets. So we're going to have to change in that respect, especially the white man. We always want to do what's right, what's proper. You know, we want to be civil towards our fellow citizens, you know, no matter what color they are. Well, fuck that shit. You know, just as it says in this next sentence, our proper and civil attitudes, they are liabilities, not assets. They're not going to help us in the end. But, you know, it's true, this article being written as long ago as it has, at least 20 years, between 20 and 25 by my estimates, and as I already told you, Tom Metzger didn't really change his opinion about organizations until about that time from some of the things that I've read and in talking with others, and specifically Bill had brought that up, and he had... if he calls in, we'll be able to verify that in a little greater detail. But it was about that time from what I had learned. So it would place this article about 20 years ago. And I haven't been around that long, maybe 5 years, since I awakened to some of this. And I'm late in the game, but I certainly hope to make up for it. And there's no doubt, at least in these 5 years, I've often heard, I even say it, wait, the time is not right. But individually, it's a different story. Just as it says here in the article, you know, we cannot control everyone else. As a group, we try to say, just as it says in the article, and for organizations, and, you know, you now is not the time. You'll be put down very quickly. An individual, well, individuals do what they want all of the time. There's no way to really control everybody. You know, there's always some loose ends out there. But when you have a large group of people or a large organization, and really some of these groups and organizations, although they may be of some size, and you might say, yes, they're large. Really, they're not, at least not big enough to go against the system, at least at this point. But individuals, in my opinion, well, you know, individuals strewing out across the country, doing all kinds of work and hitting key positions and key individuals, that can have a tremendous effect, and that can bring a system down. It can really create a lot of havoc. There's no one else here to discuss some of these things, unless, of course, I had some callers to pitch in. And then, you know, that would prompt me to think of other things, but for now I just want to present some things that I'm thinking about. But there was another sentence here. Well, I already mentioned, we often hear, wait, the time is not right. And I wanted to repeat this article for a lot of folks out there, and I know there's some, and they are somewhat disgruntled and pissed off at Might is Right because they say, well, now's the time, and what are we waiting for? Are we just going to talk for another 2 years, 20 years, 200 years? We always say put it off. Well, as a large organization, this article had already said this 20 years ago. They can't really, and they shouldn't, do anything. It wouldn't work to their advantage. Whereas individuals can do just what the hell they want. No one can really, you know, keep tabs on them all of the time. And for example, Joseph Paul Franklin, Robert Matthews decided that he wasn't going to be taken alive. He was going to fight no matter what. And there's Joseph Christopher and also Ben Smith. You know, there's individuals who decide, this is what I have to do. And within this article, it talked about, well, I don't have the exact words in front of me at the moment, but, you know, we're born with certain traits from birth. We have it or we don't. I would like to make more comments, but time doesn't permit. This is a free Blog Talk account, and I'm going to see if there are any callers, and if not, well, then we'll have to close out for the evening. But I will have another podcast later this evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at my TalkShoe account, and you can find it at or through the Might is Right Network, mightisright.net. And this evening, I wanted to make another comment. There are no callers, so I'll have to end pretty soon here. But this, whoops, I dropped something here. This particular comment, when people would say, they refer to it as a death march tune of wait. And in the article, it says that tune only applies to large organized resistance forces, not to individuals. So individuals, they're mostly free to act as they will, and they'll do that anyway. No one can tell other individuals, well, go out and take care of this. You know, that's none of their affair. It's not their concern. Each one of us, we have things that we want to achieve in life, and there are certain things within nature. You could say that nature speaks to you, or certain traits that you have that nature has bestowed upon you. Well, you know what some of your talents are, and you know when to act on things when the time comes. And everybody's different. Some people will contribute in different ways. Everyone's not going to contribute to the struggle or the effort in the same manner. And it's not for someone else to tell them how or what to do. And there's no... I have a 90-second countdown here, so I'll have to end it real quick. And I'll probably try to cover more of this evening. But these are some of the things I wanted to get into. Might is Right is not a large organization. It's still small. But nevertheless, a large organization can't really do anything. They're not effective. There's no real large organization out there anyway. But individuals are not in a position to tell, let's say, other individuals when to act. Everyone knows what it is that they want and maybe when they'll do it. And it's up to them. It's not for someone else to decide. And what I'm going to do is close out for this evening. There are no callers, but later on TalkShoe, maybe there will be. And I'd like to say goodnight to everyone. And with that, this outgoing piece of music is Der Weg des Kriegers.